You've heard the word of the Lord, the gospel lesson today, John 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus keeps saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling won't, but he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's why the Father loves me. And I take it up again. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you are our good shepherd. We thank you so much for teaching us these things and letting us see what a heart you have for sinners like us. What great forgiveness and grace. Lord, move in us, move in us all to share this grace with others around us. They so much need to hear it too, so that they can be in your one flock with you, our one shepherd. In your name we pray. Amen. Years before Christ, there was a king named David, the most famous ancestor of Jesus. David was inspired by God the Holy Spirit to write most of the Psalms, the hymn book of the Old Testament, right in the middle of your Old Testament in your Bible. And in Psalm 110, he makes this statement. Sound well, he's not the way he meant it. We don't really like it. It sounds good when you first hear in Psalm 110, verse 2, rule in the midst of your enemies. How is he going to do that? Well, first choice, even for Jesus' disciples, if you remember James and John when they got that nickname, Boanerges, the Sons of Thunder. They were going through Samaria, which Jews didn't like to do anyway, and the Samaritans did not welcome them in a certain village. And so James and John seriously asked Jesus, should we call down thunder from heaven and destroy the village? And Elijah the prophet could call down thunder from heaven. I mean, wouldn't it have been a thrill for James and John, right then and there? Jesus, as the Creator God who knows all things, lives in all, you know, the eternal present, if he had just said to his disciples, yeah, watch this. And he pulls down an Apache helicopter, the most powerful attack machine in the world today. And he says, this flying machine, somebody called a helicopter, let me aim it, and you just push the button. Oh, we're not like that? Can a barbs and arrows come out of this mouth that still prays and praises God, and yet what comes out of this mouth sometimes? I can remember in the dormitory, some of the tutors, as we called them, would ask the students, is that the same mouth you pray with? All depends on how mad we are, doesn't it? And I'm sure there's a reason why it's illegal to have machine guns on your car. What did Jesus do? He rebuked his disciples and said, let's go to the next village. He moved them on. He rules in the midst of his enemies. It's just not the way the sinful heart of us human beings would have it be done. What we have going on in our society right now, with all sides against all sides, it seems like, is nothing new. This is the way chaos rules when people wander away from the Good Shepherd who loves his sheep, but he knows how to discipline his sheep too. And he knows just what we need as he rules in the midst of his enemies. You know that John chapter 10 comes after John chapter 9? Do the math. John chapter 9 is where Jesus gets into all sorts of trouble because he dared to heal a blind man on the Sabbath day. Jesus, who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. And his own Jewish religious leaders said, no, this day, you're not supposed to work this day. And so they criticized Jesus. And John chapter 9 is fairly long as they go through all these efforts to try to pin this on him. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's merciful. You can watch Jesus and listen to him. He's up against church people. Not just the Roman authorities and the civil government, but the church people of his day. We get all wrapped up in ourselves when we stop listening and following the one who says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what it takes. And that's not normal. First of all, where he says, I am, if that rings a bell for some of you, in John's gospel account, there's 23 times where there are these ego I me statements in the Greek, the I am, the great I am is speaking. And the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus' enemies, understood that very well, that he was claiming to be the eternal God, eternal Son of God. And that, by the way, would require being born of the Virgin Mary, which is not a myth or a legend. It was promised and promised and promised again and then carried out. So, he's the good shepherd, and he's also the great I am, the one who is. The one who slapped Pharaoh all over the world for worshiping the Nile and thinking he was a god, and then he had sent Moses back to Egypt. Remember, who shall I say sent me? Moses at the burning bush, at death, a share, at death. I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And when Jesus says publicly, before Abraham was, I am, they get it. And they crucified him for it. They called it blasphemy. But that was part of the plan. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man who's not a shepherd does not own the sheep. There's no real close connection between a hireling, that's the King James word for it, hired man, I like that, hireling. He just doesn't have that close connection with the sheep. And this is very real. A pastor friend of mine told me about a time when he was taking care of his uncle's sheep, trying to move them along a country road that just happened to be paved, okay? And it had rained, and so they came to a place in the road where the rainwater had kind of puddled on the pavement, and you know how deep that's going to be. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Half an inch, probably not an inch. But they're just, the sheep are looking at this pond of water, and they can't get across. And he's trying every which way to push them, drive them, call them, but he's not their shepherd. They don't recognize his voice. They won't follow him. They won't go through. They're all resisting, but they don't want to drown, even though the water would barely get their feet wet. So he finally picked up the lead ewe, that would be the mom, picked her up and carried her across the water, barely, you know, past the soles of his shoes. And then all the sheep followed right behind. And by the way, they didn't drown. Made it all the way across, no problem. But he told me that story because it really does illustrate, doesn't it? If you're not the owner of the sheep and they don't know your voice, they're not going to follow you. Jesus talks about that in the earlier verses of John chapter 10, about how they listen to his voice, and the shepherd can go into a mixed flock and just start talking. And the other flocks of sheep will stay in there, and as this shepherd, our shepherd, talks, and we just follow him out. It has long impressed me. Peter had this congregation in this area. How we can come from so many different backgrounds and have so many different opinions about the stuff that, you know, non-biblical stuff, but just, if anything showed that, COVID sure showed some ways that we could be on both sides of an issue, and, you know, but what unites us? We hear our shepherd's voice. We want to follow him as he speaks. We don't want pastors to come and just tell us their own opinions. There's plenty of that out there. We don't need another political speech. But what we surely need is a shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. We need that close connection with our Lord, which he establishes by faith. So he says, the shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. Because he works for money, he does not care about the sheep. We're seeing this play out. If you've got the email link from President Mark Schrader, the Wisconsin Senate President, about that interview with the bishop in the Ukrainian Lutheran Church about what they're doing and how they're struggling to take care of souls that are so hurting in that war zone. Real people living there and real pastors trying to stay with their flocks and take care of the Lord's sheep. It's heartbreaking. A reason for prayer whenever you keep hearing these reports. Jesus still takes care of his sheep, and he's calling his sheep out of that darkness of war into the counsel of God to hear the good news so that they can have hope. Hope. And it depends on who your master is and who your shepherd is, whether it's the good shepherd or a hireling. There's a book, the classic book, by Shepherd Philip Keller. I refer to that every time I preach on the Good Shepherd, because he grew up in East Africa and he saw how they shepherded sheep in Israel too, and then became a shepherd and an agriculture teacher in the United States and Canada. Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He tells it, a gruesome story there, about his neighbor's sheep in the pasture on the other side of the fence. His side, well cared for, beautiful green pasture. The other side, just blasted and awful. So you couldn't blame the neighbor's sheep for looking through the fence and wanting to get to his side. And I think this was when he had his flock up in British Columbia, because he said when the tide went out at certain times of the year, his neighbor's sheep would climb around the end of the fence and come in and just gorge themselves on this rich green pasturage. Now, some of you know what that did to them. Their stomachs were not able to take it. He said they just lie down practically dead, like sodden sacks, you know. So he one time loaded up 3 or 4 sheep in the wheelbarrow and took them back to the neighbor on the other side to give his sheep back to him. His neighbor took out his shepherd's killing knife and slit their throats. Couldn't care less. And the comparison is Satan and the way he takes people and uses them and kills them, and not just on earth, but eternally in their souls. And this is the time in Revelation where the chain is long. The junkyard dog seems to be able to run free. Not entirely. Because if you know the Good Shepherd's word still says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have nothing to fear from Satan. Say it out loud. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And I am baptized. Satan, you have nothing to say to me. You have nothing to say to me or God's people. Put up pictures of Jesus in your home. Say his name out loud. Say your prayers out loud. And Satan has to run away. He can't stand that. Hates it. And Christians stand firm, trusting in the Lord. Because he's not the owner of the sheep. Satan is, and Jesus is. And Jesus doesn't run. Jesus faced it down. Despite all the objections of his disciples, we spent 40 days during the Lenten season on that, didn't we? Jesus in his mission, pressing on despite all the objections of the disciples, ignoring the fact that he said he was going to die and rise again. And what do they do next? They argue about who's the greatest. Talk about that in Bible class again today. Just keep arguing. But Jesus says, no, he cares for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, I'm not a hireling. In fact, he says, I'm living for listening sheep. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. This isn't just knowledge up here. And then the Holy Spirit's inspiration of the Greek New Testament, there are different words for knowledge. There's knowledge of what you could get out of a book, or just head knowledge, as we would call it, theoretical. Like, I know a race car is fast, but I've never driven one, and my dream of the state patrol clearing out all the freeways in the Twin Cities and giving me a hot race car to just take the streets the way I want them, not going to happen. We can dream. That's dumb, I know. But that would be knowledge and experience, wouldn't it? When you've actually felt the power and it shook you back like that. I had a friend with an airplane one time. Fortunately, he did not want me to have the experience of knowing what it's like to get sick when he's doing loops and stuff like that. He was kind to me, but other people, not so much, the stories they told of him and his flying. That's experience knowledge. We don't always want that. But Jesus has experience knowledge because he was not content to sit up in heaven on a throne of glory with all the angels worshiping him and the saints who've gone before and sit there and watch us stroll down here. He wanted to know what you're going through. Know it by experience. So that no one can say, Jesus, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Every tear you cry, I cry with you. Every heartache that you have is my heartache too. Every time you sigh, Abba Father, pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm right there with you praying too, and I never sleep. 24/7, the Holy Spirit and I are praying for you, interceding. I'm still laying down my life, even though I laid it down once and took it up again. I'm laying myself out for my sheep. Yeah, he's living. And he's living for listening sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You know my experience. The more you go through difficult times with Jesus, the more you come out the other side and say, yep, God is faithful. He truly is. I didn't want to go through this. I didn't like this. But you keep going through with Jesus when you keep following him. Don't stop in the dark veil. Keep going, right? In the valley of the shadow of death. Keep going. Because you're following Jesus who's gone this way before. He says, the Father knows me and I know the Father. They have that intimate, close knowledge of each other too. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what he said he would do. Most owners wouldn't do that. It wouldn't make sense because even, you know, a shepherd who owns the sheep more than likely would think his own life is worth more than his sheep. But he's got to be a good shepherd if he's going to come between the sheep and the wolves. Or if he's going to be out there with them in the middle of the night so that they can hear his voice as he walks around. He's got to be a good shepherd if, like Philip Keller, he goes up into the high country before he takes the sheep up there and he pulls all the noxious weeds out of the pasture. Stories of him and his kids up in the high mountain pastures pulling weeds and telling stories and rolling in the grass, laughing at his stories. But they're pulling the weeds that could make the sheep sick and the little lambs die. And they're going to make sure there's clean water on the way. The sheep just love to drink from mud puddles. Especially if they're following other flocks of sheep on the same road who've gone that way before, and they're all polluting the water on the way. And if the sheep keep drinking from that polluted water, they get nematodes and flukes and all sorts of sicknesses inside them that can kill them. So the shepherd has to keep them moving because he knows he's got good water waiting for them. And you and I are sheep who love to wander. There's a reason why the Lord's holy apostle in 1 John chapter 4 says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. We hold that out for guests as an invitation to come to the Bible information class where we dig into this. Because you got to test the spirits. You have to test this pastor, this congregation, our faith, to see does it match up with the Bible. Because if it doesn't, you shouldn't come here.
many places can you go in America today that will tell you that? If I don't preach the Word of God, you follow the Word of God, not follow me. If I stray from it, follow the Word of God. Because it's Jesus, your good shepherd. And we do that before we take communion together. Because when we stand before the Lord's table, we're saying in a public way, we've checked it out. We're the same faith. And half this congregation was not born into the Wisconsin Senate. Neither was I. We had to check it out too. It's God's way. Because my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He says, I will lay down my life for the sheep, and I also have other sheep who are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. One of my dear professors said, there is no authority in the church except the Word of God. And if a little child tells you, thus says the Lord, and so it is written, that's the Word of God, and that's the authority. It sure helps us, doesn't it? When we come together with all our great opinions and so forth and just kneel at the throne of grace and then show that grace to each other. What a wonderful Savior we have. That He has brought us non-Jews into the one flock where only the Jews were before. Non-Jews or Gentiles in the Bible speech. And in Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to read up on that, it starts in verses 11, 22, or 22 to 33, somewhere toward the end of Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about how the Lord brings the Jews and Gentiles together under one shepherd, Jesus the Messiah of the Jews and the Christ of all. The other sheep are you, me, the non-Jews. How does that affect us here? I see many guests today. Some of you I remember, and most of you, I met you recently. I tell people now I've been at this so long, and I think I know everybody anyway. So, but you know, one of the great things about not knowing people is this little secret that I learned from a pastor early in my ministry. When you're in a situation where you'd like to get to know people, don't let it bother you. Everybody's in the same boat. If you came for the first time today and you look around, we have this assumption that everybody knows everybody. And I can just tell you that our longtime members are looking at a lot of new faces. And it's happening more and more. So here's a secret that I learned from that pastor. Hey, my name's Mark. What's your name? See what I just did? I put myself at the disadvantage. I don't think I've met you before. Oh, I've been here for years. Sorry about that. I guess, you know, now I have to say sometimes I'm going. But that's the secret. Not rocket science, is it? Put yourself at a disadvantage. And you say to other people, welcome. It is possible on rare occasions to be too friendly in a congregation. We have had people at times say, So, we try not to push too hard and so forth. If you want to stay anonymous, you can. You don't have to. But if you would like for us to be in contact with you and share the good stuff with you, then those contact cards are there for a reason, you know? You make that choice. But the main thing is that when you come to this church, you hear the word of our Lord Jesus, who says, I laid down my life for the sheep, and I picked it up again. And those other sheep are meant to come in. So if we look at each other as sheep who love to wander, but who are called into the flock of our Lord Jesus. Boy, doesn't that level the whole playing field? He says, this is why my Father loves me. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. When he died, he really just gave up his spirit. That's what it says. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The soldiers were surprised that he was already dead. Pilate was surprised he was already dead. Usually, crucifixion victims could hang for days before they died. That's what the soldiers were there for, to make sure friends wouldn't take them down. But the Jews wanted him off the cross, so they broke the legs of the others, but not Jesus, because that was prophesied. So remember that from Good Friday? So I lay down my life that I can take it up again. The Bible says both. The Father raised Jesus from the dead, And it also says Jesus raised himself from the dead. Don't let that throw you. Both are true. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. I have the authority to lay it down. The authority to take it up again. This is the commission I received from my Father. And Jesus was not going to let anything stop him. Because he wanted to get the sheep into his pasture so that he could lead them to the still waters of God's grace. And the word power water of baptism, where he would put his name on us and call us his own forever and a day. And if you're looking for ways to reach people around us, this really works. And you don't have to get into denominational arguments. Ask them, are you baptized? Oh, yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. Do you know what that means for you? No. Most people don't. But that's what our Bible information class is about. We go through that so that you're armed and ready, armed and dangerous against the devil and his kingdom, to come with weapons that destroy all arguments of human pride and give us the grace of God. These are weapons that give life instead of death. And he leads us beside the still waters. He lays out a table before us in the presence of our enemies. How could that be anything except that wonderful supper? This is my body. This is my blood. In with and under the bread and wine that we receive from the Lord. Why we prepare before we take that together? His word. My sheep listen to my voice. What could we do better for the good shepherd than to just keep listening? God grant us that grace. Will you wait until next week before you listen to him again? Or will you maybe be like the sheep who go out early in the morning when the dew is still on the grass? And just take a little time, even with one verse. Just let the Lord speak to you. Just sit alone with the Lord. That's how dear you are to him. I am a good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.